And once again, we're going to jump right into the reading of God's Word for the sermon, just to keep it moving along tonight with the weather. And so I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me now to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to look this evening at verse 21 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 34. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that. A few weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of Mark chapter 5, Jesus casting out the legion of demons. A little further back, we also looked at the story before that, Jesus calming the storm. And we come tonight to a story that may be somewhat familiar to you, but it's what we're looking at is really a story within a story. And the larger story that we're not going to consider tonight is the raising of Jairus' daughter. But the story that we're considering, the healing of Jesus for this woman with the flow of blood, takes place within that larger story of Jesus making his way to Jairus' home. So just keep that in mind. We won't be looking at that tonight, but that's the story within the story. So let's now hear God's word, Mark chapter 5. I'll begin reading at verse 21 and read down through verse 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Now please pray with me briefly. Father in heaven, we ask now that you would enable your word by your Holy Spirit to be a lamp to our feet and a light for our way. Lord, shine the light of the gospel into our lives by your word tonight. We ask that you'd let us see, behold Jesus, our Savior, the Christ. And let us lay hold of him by faith. And Lord, let our hearts thrill at your word. Enable us to hear it and understand it and apply it. And we pray that you would be praised and that you would nourish us and build us up as your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 years. 12 long years. That's 144 months, or 624 weeks, or 4,380 days. That's how long this woman had suffered with this disease. But 12 years of suffering was over in an instant by the power and compassion of Jesus. 12 years of suffering gave way to immediate healing. Immediate healing in an instant. Not because of a touch or a special garment, but because of Jesus. By faith in Jesus. In an instant, this woman is transformed from hopeless to healed. What a story. And in this section of Mark's gospel, and we've looked at a few of the stories, there's really a series of amazing stories that confront us with the reality of life in this sinful, dark, and hostile world. And these storms confront us with those realities through these stories confront us with those realities through things like storms and demons and sickness and even death. But what you see again and again here in Mark's gospel is the awesome remedy in Jesus Christ. One by one, he handles them all. One by one, his divine power brings immediate calm and peace and salvation. Tonight we see his power over the body and over disease. We see his gentle care for a poor, hopeless woman. And it may not be right to call her entirely hopeless because she hadn't lost all hope. She pursued Jesus with some hope that he could make her well. And after he healed her, Jesus said it was her faith that brought her salvation. Everyone else had left her hopeless. But with Jesus, there was hope and there was healing. And she left a changed woman with peace to body and soul. And I want you to see how this beautiful story this evening calls each of you, all of us, to Jesus. It calls us to faith in him, to go to him like this woman, to be healed, to go to him for peace and for salvation. And so, friends, God's word calls you tonight to go to Jesus. Go to Jesus so that you can go in peace. Go to Jesus because he gives peace. He saves and he heals. That's the good news that we need to hear tonight. Well, let's look at this together to see more of the identity and character of Jesus and to be called to faith in him. And I want to do so in three steps. I want us to consider the suffering of this woman. Then I want us to look at her miraculous healing. And then finally, her interaction with Jesus. And so let's jump into this story together tonight and first consider a severe suffering. Severe suffering. Look with me again at verse 25 and 26. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Well, you know the situation that Jesus is currently in. I've told you about this story within the story. He's on his way right now to Jairus' daughter, who's at the point of death. And Jesus has no time to lose. But there's this great crowd following him, and in that crowd there's this woman who is pursuing Jesus because she believes that he can heal her. And she's in desperate need of healing. Her severe suffering, this flow, this discharge of blood has endured for 12 long years. And her suffering is reminiscent of the suffering of the demoniac and of the leper earlier in Mark's gospel. And yet her suffering is unique, and it's worse in its own way. Her condition is called a disease in verse 29 and 34, but disease doesn't quite capture the severity of the word that Mark used for this. This woman had a scourge. A bodily affliction that was like being whipped for 12 years. That's how bad this was for this woman. It was a chronic condition that brought not only physical suffering, but intense social and emotional suffering too because of the nature of it. It was a private and personal affliction. It would have carried an awkward and an embarrassing stigma with it, especially in a day before modern sanitation and medicine and so forth. The nature of this affliction, a flow of blood, would have also rendered this woman ceremonially unclean, according to the ritual purity laws of the Old Testament. And this would have been constant. There would have been no break for her. And so she would have been a permanent outcast from society, from the people of God, excluded from religious and social circles due to her incurable condition. And her coming into the crowd and touching Jesus would have been not only taboo, but forbidden. And this went on for 12 years. It was a never-ending problem, an affliction that she had every day, and she had no relief. Imagine waking up every single morning just to find that you had the exact same problem, and you were getting no help, and you were getting no better. In fact, you were only getting worse. And you tried everything. This woman tried everything, but there was no physician who could heal her. And in fact, she suffered under them. She suffered embarrassment. She suffered financial loss. She spent everything she had. She was drained of her financial resources. She suffered under the primitive treatment, the medical treatment of the day, and she only got worse. The problem was bad enough in itself, but for it to get worse after seeking help would have been utterly demoralizing and devastating. Mark chapter 5 has been referred to as St. Jude's chapter, and that's because it's full of hopeless cases and hopeless characters. Can you imagine the hopelessness of this woman? Her sorrow, her suffering day after day, her discouragement. She would get her hopes up just to have them dashed again and again. Think about how alone and afraid she must have felt. She was utterly spent. She was destitute. She was drained of all her money. She was physically drained from the actual drain of blood. She would have likely been severely anemic and also just emotionally drained. And her suffering and her miserable situation weighs heavily. It's heartbreaking just reading about it and thinking about it. And I wonder if some of you this evening have known those who have suffered in similar ways, suffered long and severe, with severe afflictions, with chronic pain or chronic conditions, with afflictions and sorrows that do not go away. Or maybe you know it yourself, or you're in the midst of it right now. Well, such suffering is a most painful fact of life in this fallen, sinful world. And it's really because of sin, because of the fall. But this particular suffering of this woman is also a picture of the severity of sin, the disease that we all have, the helplessness and hopelessness of all of us apart from Jesus Christ. And how there's no remedy apart from Christ. All the money in the world could not help and could not heal, could not alleviate or cure her suffering. All the time in the world couldn't help her find a cure. She'd been at it for 12 years. All the world's wisdom, all the best doctors of the day could not save her. It only left her worse. There was no earthly solution. It all just left her drained and hopeless. And that's true of all of us in one sense, physically as well, because we are, in a way, we're all slowly being drained of life. And I'm not trying to be morbid, but no one survives this life outside of Christ's return. No one has found a cure for death. No one has found a way to keep the heart always beating. But it's also true spiritually. No one can buy salvation. No one can save their souls on their own. Their sinful, sick souls. No one can find healing and eternal life by anything this world offers. Ultimately, we are all in a hopeless situation as well. but hopeless only apart from Jesus Christ. This woman, as I've already said, wasn't entirely without hope because Jesus had come. And she hears that he's nearby and she believes that he can heal her. And so she goes to great lengths just to be able to touch him. And it's a tremendous touch. It's a life-changing touch. And I want us to consider that second this evening, a tremendous touch, the miraculous healing. Look with me again at verse 27 and 28. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." Now, there's a progression here that leads to this woman's healing. And what happens first is that she hears. She hears about Jesus. She hears good news of this man who taught with authority and who cast out demons, who healed the sick. Perhaps news of his calming the storm had already reached her. Had she not heard of Jesus, she would not have come to him in faith and come to him to be healed. And really, this is true of all who come to Christ for salvation. Romans 10 says, "How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard, or believe in him whom they have not heard from?" Well, she hears, and she responds. She hears about Jesus, and she is going to do something about it. Jesus said many times in Mark chapter 4, "He who has ears, let him hear." Well, she truly hears, and she acts on that in faith, and she goes to Jesus. Verse 27 again, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd. She didn't know everything about him at this point. She may have never seen him before. Perhaps she didn't fully understand who he was or what he had come to do. But she knew that she needed him, and she believed he could help her. And so she works her way towards him through the crowd, coming up behind him, finally getting close enough to reach out and touch his garment. Now, some think she was perhaps superstitious and attached healing powers to his clothes. But I think she knew that it was Jesus and not his garments or her touch that healed. And Jesus will tell her in verse 34, it was her faith that made her well. Her faith in him. Ultimately, his power. And I think she knows also, as she's approaching him, that she's breaking the rules, being in the crowd. She knows it's going to be hard to get to him, and she could perhaps even tell he was in a hurry. He was on his way trying to get somewhere. She knows that to come into contact with others would make them unclean and even make Jesus unclean. She's exhausted, she's embarrassed, but she's been telling herself, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. I want you to just picture her pushing through the crowds, desperately wanting to catch up, to get to where she could just quickly and quietly reach out her hand and touch him. Perhaps saying to herself over and over under her breath, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can touch even his garments. She goes to him because she believes he has the power to heal. And she needs help. She's desperate. Nothing else has helped. Nothing else has worked. And so eventually she makes it close enough to reach out and touch him. And her faith is instantly rewarded. The moment she touches Jesus' garments, she's healed. Listen to how Mark puts it in verse 29 again. And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, she's healed. All of a sudden, the flow of blood stops. Her healing is instantaneous. There's no intervening time. There's no intervening means. The power of Jesus heals her immediately and automatically. And she's healed completely, and she knows it right away. She can tell. She can feel it. It's obvious. She feels 12 years of suffering and pain and heartache and hopelessness gone in a moment. And yet she doesn't leave the crowd and walk off into the sunset after her healing. The story is not over. She wants to slip away, but Jesus isn't going to let her. He's not content just to heal her body. He wants to meet her. He wants to speak with her face to face and make it clear that it was her faith in Him that brought this grace and this healing in her life. He wants her to tell her story and to fully see and trust Him. And so let's consider third and finally tonight, the merciful meeting. The merciful meeting. Look with me at verse 30. After she's been healed. And Jesus, perceiving in Himself that power had gone out from Him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now Jesus is the one who heals this woman. He permits His power to pass into her and heal her. He knows He's been touched, but not just by the crowd. He's been touched in a different way. He's been touched with faith. And it could be that He didn't even physically feel her touch because of the crowd or because it was only His clothes. But He knows that His power has gone out and healed. And so He stops. And He says, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples think He's crazy. "Come on, Jesus, you're getting touched by everyone around you repeatedly. You're in the middle of a crowd. Are you serious? We don't have time for this, Jesus. Jairus' daughter is on her deathbed. He's an important man. We need to keep moving." But Jesus lingers, and He looks into the crowd. And I think you can see here His perfect timing and His compassion and His patience. He didn't have time for this, to stop and look for this woman from our perspective. In fact, as you read on in Mark, time runs out for the little girl. But that doesn't stop Jesus. He wants to show His love for this woman and then eventually in Mark 5, His power over death. Some think it's thoughtless of Jesus to stop and draw attention to this woman when she's already suffered so much. Why not just let her walk away and not call attention to her? But Jesus deals with her gently and with mercy. He knows she's afraid. He's not trying to embarrass her. But He also knows her need to openly follow Him. To see Him face to face, to be called to faith in Him and have a peace and a healing to both body and soul. And so we read in verse 33, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth." In Mark's gospel, a lot of people fall down before Jesus in fear. But I think this is the fear of faith, the fear of awe and respect and worship. And she tells Him everything. She tells Him her whole story. And so now there are multiple witnesses to what has just happened in the life of this woman, to the power and compassion of Jesus. Now her story is known. Now her story can be told and be put into the gospel. Others can now share her joy. Maybe even more importantly, Jesus can now highlight and commend the centrality and the necessity of faith. Look at what Jesus says in verse 34. "And He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" Jesus calls her daughter, which conveys gentle care and love. He doesn't chastise her secrecy or her fear or her breaking the purity laws. He says, "My dear young lady or daughter, your faith has made you well." Faith. Jesus is calling attention to her faith. Her faith was the key instrumental cause of her healing. It was the power and love of Jesus, the Son of God, that made her well. And by faith, she received that gift from Him. The power and the miracle didn't come from her faith, but from Christ. Her faith reached out and touched, trusted Jesus, received the gift of His healing and His saving work. And that's why Jesus stops and highlights it and says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made all the difference." And He's calling her to faith in Him, to continue to trust in Him. He's calling her to put her faith in Him as Savior. And He's calling you and me to faith in Him as well. And Jesus' choice of words here is important. It shows us, I think, that this wasn't just about her physical well-being and healing. And what He actually says to her is more clear in the original. He says, "Your faith not just has made you well, but your faith has saved you." It's the Greek word sozo. It has the same root as the word Savior and salvation. Your faith has saved you. This woman has not just been made well physically. She's not just been saved from her bodily affliction. By faith in Christ, she's been saved from an even worse affliction, an even worse disease, sin, which has consequences far worse than a flow of blood, which lasts not for 12 years, but for an eternity. And this is an affliction, a disease that all of us, all of you have. And so the vital question for us tonight is, have you been saved by faith in Jesus? Have you heard of Him? Do you know that you need Him as this woman knew she needed Jesus? Do you know that nothing else, no one else, can save you from suffering and sin and death? Have you come to Jesus by faith and touched Him like this woman, trusted Him, received Him by faith, gotten to the point where you know you're helpless and hopeless without Him? No amount of money or time or doctors or the world's wisdom, nothing can make you whole and happy and peaceful and alive forever but Christ. Do you believe He can heal you? He can make you well. He can save you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." This woman was saved by the grace of Jesus through faith in Him. It was not her work, her touch, her pushing through the crowd. It was the gift of God, the gift of Jesus. And Jesus sends her away with peace. He says, "Go in peace." And the peace He is speaking of is not just a warm feeling. It's not just a temporary physical peace. It's peace with God. Peace, body and soul, that comes only by faith in the Prince of Peace, who had laid down His life. And so He says to her, "Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Be healed. Be whole. Be cured. Be pure." And this woman is fully healed, fully cleansed, fully delivered from her affliction and from sin and death ultimately, if she is trusting in Jesus. And I want you to just imagine the sweetness and joy of that moment and those words from Jesus. "Go in peace. Go in peace." This woman had had no peace for 12 years, body or soul. But who gives her peace? Real peace through physical healing and spiritual salvation? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the King, the Savior, the Christ, with power to heal and to save. Go in peace. And he can do that for her. And he can do that for you and me because of his blood shed on the cross. You see, Jesus would have not just some power pass from him on the cross. His very life would be given. His soul would pass from him in order to save this woman, to save you and me and a great multitude of hopeless sinners, body and soul, forever. His blood would flow. His life would be drained in order to give you life and peace and wholeness, to pay for and to cure every sin and every effect of sin forever in our broken bodies and souls. Dear friends, this beautiful true story, this meeting in the crowd that day, is a declaration of good news, a picture of the gospel, that you too can have peace, peace with God, peace like this woman because of his blood shed on the cross, because of who he is. Do you have that peace? Do you have that peace? You and I can't see and hear Jesus like this woman. We can't follow after him and reach out and touch him with our hands in a crowd like this woman. Most of you may not have such a debilitating affliction like this woman. You may not be hopeless in the same way she was. But apart from Jesus, we are all hopeless. We are all hopeless as she was. We're all in need of complete healing and new life and peace from Jesus. We need to be made well. We need to be saved. We need Jesus just as much as she did. And there may even be some tonight who do know, many of you who do know and trust Christ, but you're suffering. And maybe you've lost hope tonight. Do you see his mercy and his power, his love? Do you see the peace that he gives, if not in this life fully, most surely in the life to come? Go to Jesus. He does give healing. He gives hope and peace. He died that you might live. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has completed his work on earth. He is a compassionate, perfect, faithful Savior who calls you to come to him, to believe in him, to have rest and peace and healing and life and salvation. And so recognize that you need him, that you have an affliction even worse than this woman, sin, death, to body and soul. But he has an answer. He is the answer. And he will save and he will heal. And so go to him. Go to Jesus in faith. Go to Jesus and you will go in peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your gospel. We thank you for these stories that were witnessed and recorded for us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for healing that woman and for calling her to faith in you. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you that you were willing to come and to lay down your life, to have your blood flow and to be shed so that we might have life, body and soul forever, so that we might have healing and peace. Peace with you, so that we might go in peace. So, Lord, I ask that each and every one here and many more, even those who are not able to be here, and family members and friends would see that they need Jesus, would come to him in faith and know his healing and his power and his compassion, would taste his salvation. Lord, comfort us, bring hope and healing as you did for this woman. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us to see who he is and what he's done for us. And give us faith in him. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.